Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're joined by Russ Dallin, one of our go-to guys on matters involving our hemisphere, most especially Venezuela, a country with which he has had long and very insightful associations. Russ knows about all of these issues because of, among other things, his role as the president and editor-in-chief of the Latin American Herald Tribune. He is also an international banker by training. He's the head of Caracas Capital Markets. Very pleased to have him back. Russ, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Secretary Gaffney, for having me. It's always a pleasure and much more importantly, informative.
Thank you. Well, it's informative because of you, my friend. Let me talk to you about the latest developments here concerning Venezuela, and then we'll talk about what's going on there. There has been a report, I think you may have been the folks who broke it, that Corey Lewandowski, a man who was sort of thrust into national attention by virtue of his being the first campaign manager for the Trump candidacy, that he had taken up with this company Citgo, which we've talked about with you and others over the past couple of weeks, that seems to be migrating from Venezuelan control into the hands of the Russians, with some very obvious and ominous implications for our energy and perhaps indeed our national security. Talk about what Corey Lewandowski's up to and what its implications might be.
Well, it all happened very very quickly. In the space of 24 hours, it was unveiled that Mr. Lewandowski had been working as a lobbyist on behalf of Citgo and since February, when they had employed him, and he was getting insubstantial $25,000 a month for that contract. But Mr. Lewandowski had failed to register that with the Office of Disclosure, of Federal Disclosure, with the Senate, which maintains a database of all these things. And apparently, he had not registered as a lobbyist. In addition, he and
anybody, as I understand it, it's not just Citgo. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, not just Citgo. This new company that he and another Trump campaign strategist had founded in January had also apparently.
This is Avenue Strategies, I believe.
Avenue Strategies, yes, had partnered with some other companies and was their materials that they were the company in Asia was showing around was guaranteeing access to the president. So at any rate, once the media shed light on that, it acted as a disinfectant and quickly cleaned up that part of the swamp. And the company, Mr. Lewandowski left split with his partner over the issue.
So is it the case, as best you can tell, Russ Dallin, that Avenue Strategies minus Lewandowski is still promoting the idea that Citgo should become a Russian-owned company?
We have not seen any of the work they've done on the issue, although we follow it closely. We don't know if they were responsible for the $500,000 that was donated by Citgo to the Trump inauguration committee either. All very strange, though, for a company that representing a country that's in dire economic straits, where the 82% of the population is living in poverty.
Russ, let me turn to another development in Venezuela itself, and that is the continuing drama playing out between the rioting in the streets and the effort of the Maduro regime to hold on to power. Tell us about this idea of a new constituent assembly, what it has as its remit, as they say in diplomatic circles, and what's likely to come of it.
It's a complicated mess, but what it comes down to is the the will of Mr. Maduro to remain in power and do everything he can to stay in power, even though 80% of the population wants him to go. And so what he has done now, there is rioting in the streets. The population has been, since the beginning of last month, when Mr. Maduro's Supreme Court, who was all handpicked by him, decided to formalize what had been the practice for the past year, and just wrote in an opinion that the National Assembly, the parliament, their Congress, which had been dominated since December of 2015 by the opposition, no longer existed, and that that the Supreme Court would be exercising or the National Assembly's functions to approve contracts, basically to approve especially the contracts with the Russians for the sale of the oil fields, which the Russians were unsure wanted to do, but wanted some legal security. But the opposition had warned them that without National Assembly approval, when and if the opposition came into power, they would be kicked out and those contracts would be disavowed without their approval. So in trying to get around that, the Supreme Court decided that the National Assembly no longer existed and that it would assume its functions. The population rose up and the international community also rose up against that. But the population has been protesting almost every other day since, with these massive flash protests. And 36 people have been killed as the Venezuelans increasingly use the Cuban tactics of just bashing their heads in.
Russ, let me ask you about one other development here in the United States. The United States Senate has been responding on a remarkable, it seems, bipartisan basis for a change to these developments in Venezuela with the introduction of the Venezuelan Humanitarian Assistance and Defense of Democratic Governance Act. Tell us about its provenance and its prospects.
It is remarkable, and I think there was some concern that there was kind of a lack of leadership on these issues coming from the State Department and or the White House. And so the Senate and the House of Representatives have been very active on these forefronts, much more close to the population, and have been passing these rules. So in 2014, for example, we also had these protests against Maduro. And at that point, Marco Rubio and so they passed an act in 2014 to help Venezuela, which started the ball rolling and called for sanctions on Venezuelan officials who were involved in these kind of violations of human rights. And 140 Venezuelans are now banned from coming to the United States. They've withdrawn their visas. Those names have not been released, but another seven were recently put on the Office of Foreign Assets Control drug kingpin list, including seizing their assets.
Steps in the right direction. Do you anticipate the Senate will, in fact, adopt this language and tighten the screws further? And if so, Congress as a whole will approve it?
I do. I do. I think there's a bipartisan concern, having spoken with members in both the House and Senate about what is going on in Venezuela, which, as we know and have often repeated here, has the largest oil reserves in the world.
Russ Dahlin, we have to leave it at that for the moment. Thank you so much for your time and for the terrific work you all do at the Latin American Herald Tribune. Come back to us again soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Afton. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.